Find your passion, and then work won't seem like work anymore. Have you ever heard that idea? It's this idea that the way to achieve happiness and fulfillment in life is to take something we enjoy doing and figure out how to make money doing it. Or have you ever heard someone say that they want to make lots of money so they can retire in their 50s and play golf or live the good life or travel the world? Do you sometimes feel like your work is just that thing you have to do in between vacations? In the current COVID-19 crisis in the US, the government paid people a bonus if they went on unemployment. Many found they could make more money by staying home than by going back to work. So they stayed home, even when their jobs were made available to them again. Andrew Yang was a recent candidate for US president. One of the ideas that set him apart was a guaranteed basic income for everyone, regardless of whether they worked or not. There's a hierarchy of work in the world. We often have great respect for people who work as lawyers, doctors, or actors. We have less respect for people who collect the trash, who work in a factory, or who work on a farm. There is an expectation today that employers have to provide everything for an employee. Salary, medical, housing, training, even wellness and entertainment. When employers don't offer enough of these things or expect too much work for these things, then they might be accused of being oppressors, of abusing their power. In such cases, the workers rise up to demand a better deal. All of these ideas are different from how the Apostle Paul saw work. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul returned to the theme of work repeatedly, and he set the standard for Christian thinking about work. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word today. We pray that our hearts would be ready to receive it, and that you would give us insights in how we should better live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back in chapter 2, Paul reminded the Thessalonians of the example he set when he was with them in Thessalonica. He said, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked day and night that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God." Last week, Jeff taught us about Paul's message in chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Paul was telling the Thessalonians to follow the example he and Timothy and Silvanus had set, and to set themselves apart as holy, avoiding sinful behavior. Part of this was because it pleases God, but it's also a way to protect ourselves from our natural tendency to be selfish and act in ways that we think will help us, but are actually destructive. Instead, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit shows us a better way to live as Christ's disciples and as a community of believers. And today, our scripture is from the 4th chapter, verses 9 to 12. Paul writes, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." The first message is clear. Keep loving one another. You are setting a great example throughout the region. You are doing great. Keep going. Clearly, the Thessalonians were on the right track, and the surrounding culture was noticing. This idea of loving one another in the church is common, appearing 13 times in the New Testament. For example, in John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Part of what makes the world take notice of the church, and therefore the gospel and Jesus Christ, is the way we love each other. Paul uses the phrase brotherly love, an other-focused love that is in clear contrast to the sinful, self-interested behaviors he described earlier in the chapter. But Paul was also a bit worried, I think, because he said, "Do this more and more," referring to brotherly love. Then he said, and that word "and" is important here, because with it, Paul says there is more to your witness than brotherly love. And ultimately, what Paul was doing was asking the Thessalonians to use their work as part of their daily witness. In other words, holiness and our work are somehow connected. Before we dig into these ideas, it might be helpful to talk about the context for Paul's message. Macedonia, where Thessalonica was full of people in poverty. Also, there was a problem with idleness in Thessalonica's church. Idleness is another word for kind of being lazy or not wanting to work, just wanting to waste time. For whatever reason, a number of people in Thessalonica were not working. There are different explanations. Some say it was because the manual labor that was available was too hard. Others say that as the gospel caught on, people expected Jesus to return right away. So what was the point of working? Others said that some people in the church had such fervor for spreading the gospel that they wanted to do it all the time, and hopefully just be supported by others who had money. Some were criticizing the Christians for their generosity, for sharing what they had amongst each other. They accused the Christians of being naive about money and work. Some people at the time were thinking that the best possible life was to find a rich benefactor who could support you in a way that allowed you to avoid difficult work, or even better, to become a rich benefactor. But this generally depended on Roman citizenship and connections. How did the rich benefactors in the Roman Empire get rich? They had slaves. Slavery in the Roman Empire fueled a decadent culture of those who had power. Those who had slaves could indulge in sinful behavior, the very kind that Paul warned the believers to avoid in the earlier part of the chapter. So all of these things were going on, and they were skewing the culture's ideas about work and its value. Paul knew that if the church fell into the same traps as the society around it, that would be unholy, and then it would be criticized and lose the effectiveness of its witness. If Christians became associated with idleness and sinfulness, they would be no different from others, and they would not be showing love to God through obedience. If Christians became a drain on society, then resentment would grow towards Christianity, and fewer people would be attracted to Christ. So, in his letter, Paul spelled out an ethic of Christian work that would avoid idleness, extravagance, oppression, and dependency that plagued the society around them. Perhaps that's some of the problem in our society today as well. So let's break his message down into bullets. Let's look at verses 11 and 12 specifically. In those verses, he says, "Aspire to live quietly and mind your own affairs and work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." There is a connection between these ideas about work and brotherly love in the church. When these guidelines are not followed, brotherly love is in jeopardy. Let's look at them one at a time in a little more detail. Aspire to live quietly. Quietly here does not mean silent. Rather, it means restful. Paul is saying that we should not be so busy all the time with our work that we do not have time to rest, to spend time with God, and to show brotherly love to others. We have a tendency to let work push our faith and our commitment to others in the church to the side. Paul is saying we should live quietly, leaving capacity and time for our relationships with God. That relationship is the source of the brotherly love that we can then show to others. Christians can even get too busy in the church. If we think we have to convert everyone we meet, or we have to rise to a position of leadership in the church, or we get too critical of others around us, these kinds of busyness make it so hard to show a quiet brotherly love. Let's move on to his next point, to mind your own affairs. This idea comes from the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. Matthew 7, verse 3 says, "Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own?" Each one of us must look to our own relationship and righteousness before we seek to help others with theirs. Paul's next point gets to the nature of work directly. He says, "To work with your hands as we instructed you." Paul is making it clear that there is nothing wrong with doing manual labor. He supported himself during his ministry travels by doing such manual labor. Everyone should be willing to work. It's not just about making money. It's about avoiding idleness and about making a contribution. Paul knows there is dignity, a sense of purpose, and safety in staying busy. Maybe you've heard the phrase before that says, "Idle hands are the devil's playthings." What that means is that when we are not busy with meaningful, purposeful things to do, we tend to fall into sin. It's much better to stay busy than to have time to sin. Work, including manual labor, is pleasing to God. And one of the reasons that we should do work is so that we can walk properly before outsiders. That's Paul's next point. Our witness to those outside the church is important. It could have eternal consequences. When we are obedient, doing our work well, it is appreciated by others, even non-Christians. When others appreciate our work, they may be more willing to hear our words. The final point that Paul makes is we should work to be dependent on no one. Paul is saying that if we can contribute to our own welfare, if we can take care of ourselves and our needs, we should. There is honor in working to provide for ourselves and our families. Depending on others while we are idle for no reason breeds animosity and resentment in a culture. When we work, we contribute to strength and purpose in our community. When we work, we gain the capacity to give to those who cannot work or whose work does not pay well enough for them to afford necessities. Working allows us to be generous to others. You'll notice that Paul does not really mention the idea of furiously working to make money for a nice vacation. He does not say when we should retire and stop working. He does not say that employers are obligated to give their workers everything they could need or want. He does not say that we should only work if we are truly passionate about the job. When we think of our work, instead of striving after our own passion or groaning at the misfortune of our labor, let's ask God to give us a passion for Him and His kingdom. Our work in God's kingdom, our worship of the King, is to show brotherly love. Sometimes that means changing a diaper, washing a dish, or digging a ditch as a way to serve others and worship God. Which of these aspects of the work ethic in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12 was challenging for you today? You can pause the video here and take a little time to reflect on your own or to share your ideas with your small group. God, I pray that you would help us to know today how to best be workers in your kingdom. Show us how to love each other well. Show us how to serve each other well. And God, we pray that our brotherly love and our work ethic would be very attractive to those outside of the church, that people would want to know what motivates us, and that people would come to know you as a result. God, we pray all these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.